Pickaxe.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triforce podcast. Today, coming to you from various men's bedrooms and or garages.
Yeah, office.
How are you guys doing?
It's an office.
Offices. Yeah, yeah. Offices.
Flax is in the insane asylum doctor's room.
Yep.
I'm in my filthy dad garage, which smell like eggs this morning. I had to open the windows.
Again with the egg smell.
Why does it, you don't even eat very many eggs.
It's actually not a garage. He's in the fridge. He hadn't noticed.
Me eating eggs has nothing to do with the way that my garage, that was nobody was in it for like 17 hours.
Okay.
Despite smelling like that. I mean, you know, it just, it's got its own smell. It's like its own beast.
Are you sure there isn't some sort of gas leak or something like that?
Like egg gas?
Yeah, like a sulfurous. It's
like a sulfur deposit, like right under my garage that just
like
stinks
a hot springs.
A bit.
You next to an ostrich farm or something? A lot of eggs?
Well, now come to think of it, yeah.
Do. That makes good sense.
There's a field of ostriches right next to my garage.
What if Sips is actually a battery hen and he just hadn't noticed? He's a sentient battery hen.
Yeah.
And because he's surrounded by millions of non-sentient chickens, none of them have told anybody, and he's just chilling, being this genius chicken with a YouTube channel and recording a podcast. And
maybe
so many chickens, they just haven't noticed.
What if,
man, it really smells like eggs in here. He keeps thinking,
but I mean, eggs don't smell like when they're in the shell, in the shell still, right? Like you wouldn't walk into a hen battery and be like, man, it smells like eggs really bad in here.
That's true.
You'd be overwhelmed by the smell of their poop.
Yeah, it would be chicken poop, you're right.
First off.
Yeah.
And do chickens pee? They must.
Of course they do.
So you'd smell a bit of that too mixed in.
Yeah.
And the eggs probably don't smell
at all. I suppose feel like a battery hen anyway, just trapped in a room producing videos like like with a whip.
Yeah,
you know,
they're just coming out of your ass at a regular interval.
Yeah, just pooping them out,
just pooping
just
those out
for,
hoping
that people
to hit the
like
big
them.
Time. Yeah,
not really seeing where they go, just
hoping to go viral. I want my eggs to go viral.
Pooping out the vids 2016.
Yeah,
yeah.
And on the back is a picture of you shitting out
A YouTube video, yeah.
Right.
just like really pinching it out.
For God's sake.
It's like frothing
eyes
out.
Eyes closed. He's got like really...
Whipping up into like a pile.
Come on, guys. Stick to the fucking
behavior. This is
God's pretty sakes. Much... This is like the...
Poop talk. 5 minutes of poop talk.
I don't
talk,
want that photoshopped
games.
Everywhere.
Well,
do you?
On the topic of birds and poop talk, though, I have to say something first before we move on. I went for a walk this morning, okay? For the first time in quite a while.
Did you smell flowers?
No. We walked to a coffee shop, which is like about...
Is this why you were half an hour late
to
the podcast recording?
I started like waffling on about some stuff. We were sitting down
40,
and then...
40 minutes late,
Sorry, but it was nice out. We went for a walk and then we were really late. But
well,
anyway...
Well, I'm glad you had a nice walk. Maybe you could have told us about this walk and we would have been able to have a 45-minute walk as well.
I would have had a nap.
Well,
I would have napped it up.
What I'm about to tell you is going to change your mind on that one.
All
because
right.
We were walking along like the front, like the coast, and there's a big seawall, right? And so we're walking along and it smelled like the sea, as it does on the front, on the coast. And there's like a little bit of a sniff of something else, but you know, you just sort of think, I'm by the sea, so it could be anything, you know, I'm not going to worry too much. And there's this woman walking towards us, pushing a stroller.
Oh no.
And she had this face on her and it was like, what the hell? Like, is this woman okay? And she's like, don't go close to the wall. It's disgusting. And we were like, well, okay. She's like, somebody's puked on the wall and it's absolutely disgusting. So we're like, oh, all right. And then we look beyond her. And of course, standing in a gigantic puddle of barf on a wall is a seagull eating it.
Okay.
And then I saw that and instantly, like a train, the smell of barf hit me. And I was just like, I had to do that thing where you block your nasals so that you can't smell it. So I was like, okay. I was talking like this for about 5 minutes, walking past the puddle of
you
barf.
You block your nasals.
Yeah, you know, you don't like fully pinch your nose. You just sort of like,
oh my God.
You block
your
sense. Yeah, your smell sense sort of thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And
I've done that.
We were really grossed out. We're like, okay, well, let's not walk back this way. And then of course we forgot about it. So we walked back that way. And again, we had to experience that. Just like a freight train in the night smashing right into your face, this wall of hell smell. It was disgusting. God,
what
it was
is
so
it,
bad.
What is it about other people's emissions that offend the nose so much? I've always thought like we must have evolved as, you know, as a society that we're living in with other people, you know, there's going to be smells.
Yeah.
But no, it's exactly that. It is evolutionary. It's something which says, you know, this is something that you don't want to touch. You don't want to put your fingers in. And it's coded for us at a young age,
yeah,
really.
It's weird, though. There's
a very instinctive
subtle
thing.
Rules to it. I mean, if I, for some reason, like I remember one time I was really sick, okay? And this is kind of gross and maybe a bit embarrassing for me. But there was barfing and shitting involved. And
yeah,
actually the smell of my shit at the time made me want to barf more. Okay.
Right.
But I can happily sit in a room and fart.
For God's
and
sake.
Be perfectly content with the smell of my own farts. But other people's farts, I find very offensive. Like the smell of them is just too much. So what's the deal with that? And barf, it doesn't matter who does it. Even my own barf is gross. Like the smell is just really awful. And I never want to smell my own barf or anyone else's barf again. But what's the deal with your own farts? Like,
I don't share this.
Oh, you don't like the smell of your own farts at all?
No, they stink. They stink.
I'm not saying mine don't, but I don't. It doesn't bug me. It doesn't make me want to like actually throw up or anything. Like sometimes
I feel like having kids now, I'm so used to the smell of shit and puke that I just don't care anymore. Like I'm beyond caring. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
I still don't, you know, I don't want to
move beyond
get
it
on me, but at the same time,
no.
I mean, I've had to clear up a lot of puke in my time.
Yeah.
I've had to clear up grown-up puke because Mrs. F can't handle her drink and will sometimes come home loaded. She hasn't done it in a while. But one time she was sick all over the kid's bedroom door.
Jeez.
All over the door.
Man.
You're like a janitor.
I know.
Just like kids puking and pooping.
I would lay the smack down at that
smug
point, personally.
Puking and pooping.
I would literally open a can of whoop ass at that point.
No,
I'd
she
be
just,
like, I'm
she,
sorry.
I
like,
saw her,
we have a pretty good relationship here, but if you're going to do this again, you better go somewhere with that because...
She's kind of cute when she's drunk, you know what I mean? I mean, she does all this little sort of cute... She's like, I was sick on the door. Yeah, clear it up.
Yeah, but still. I'd be
like,
okay,
oh,
you know what?
You silly Billy.
Yo, you're so silly, but if you ever fucking do that again, trust me, your head's going to be like through that door as well. Like,
it's not the first
sick
time.
Everywhere. I'd be so mad.
Do you want to hear the two other occasions Mrs. F... The two occasions Mrs. F has been sick in public.
Is she okay with
are
you
they, are they
this?
Cute? Are they as cute as the door one? Or
they're cuter. All right.
Okay, fine. Hit me.
Here's one of my favorites. She drinks champagne very quickly. This is her problem. She doesn't drink often. So she goes to this work function. We're living in Wimbledon at the time. And she calls me from the station. She's like, pick me up. Pick me up. I'm like, okay, she's fucking hammered. I'll walk down to the station and pick her up. So I go down to get her, and she's just leaning on a wall outside the station. She's been sick all down her front, okay?
Oh.
And she's still got everything on. Like, she's got a coat on, a work bag and everything, but it's just like, it's almost like she was coming home from work and someone just got a bucket of puke and just went blam right in her face.
Wow.
So I was like, this is not a good look. This was years ago. This is like
I'm picturing your wife
ago.
As like the girl from the IT crowd. You know, the one she always seems to find herself into these like pukey situations,
yeah.
Or like, you know, she's wearing like a trench coat, a work trench coat that like a lady would wear. But
yeah,
just has
it was
or,
exactly
like,
that kind of coat,
runny makeup, and
so I had to practically carry
stuff.
Her home. It's like a half mile walk, and I'm just walking, and she can barely walk. Right, we get home, I have to get her undressed, I have to clear the sick out of her hair and everything. She crashes, and she's fine. She's like, oh, thanks for looking after me. Like, no problem. So we go out another time, maybe a couple of years later, and we're coming home on the train from Waterloo down to Richmond. And she's like, I need to be sick. And we're like, there's no toilets on this train. So I said, well, you're going to have to be sick in the joiny bit between the two carriages where you can open the door.
Yeah, no, good shout, though. That's a good shout.
That's the best spot. So she goes in there.
That's not the best spot, is it? Because everyone has to get off on there's that.
They don't have sick bags on a train, but they still have them on a plane. I mean, yeah, you can still get motion sickness on a train. Right?
Didn't anyone have like a backpack or something she could be
sick
in?
No, it was just
like
me and her. So she's being sick in the joining bit between these two cars. And there's this older businessman sat there, and he's appalled at what he sees. Rightly,
yeah,
appalled. And he's just glaring at us. And because we're both drunk, I'm like, what the fuck are you looking at? What the fuck are you looking at?
Was it Jeremy Corbyn? And was he sitting on the ground when it was happening?
No. This was an empty train. It was like 11 o'clock at night. It was like at midweek.
Oh, right, okay.
She drank too much champagne again. And she's sick in the joining between two carriages.
Jeez.
She hasn't done it in years, but it was her thing for a while. Like, she'd say, I'm going out for work too. I was like, shall I prepare the plastic sheets, Your Majesty, for when you get home?
First of all, like, you know, your idea of a short period of time, it's almost like, you know, you said, oh, there was this other time, as if it was going to be a couple of weeks later. You said a couple of years.
Yeah,
later.
Yeah.
So this is not, I mean, a bi-yearly.
It hasn't happened in like a decade.
Okay. So
there was the time she was sick on the kid's door was more recently than that. That might have been 6 years ago.
I used to be sick all the time when I was a kid, and
you
yeah,
strike
I got really
me
calcic,
as the type, actually.
I would. My dad would always
not
be like
quite a bubble
over.
Boy, but like pretty close.
Yeah, and we would go to my nana's, and I'd be like, you know, sick. Oh, I'm not very good. And so I would puke in the car all the time, and I'd puke out the window, and they'd have to pull over, and I'd puke. I'd be puking all the time.
Oh
right? I was a puker.
I'm a puker. He's a puker.
And I was on holiday with my friend from school, and we went skiing, and it was nice. I went with her family. I had a bit of a crush on her, but this is another story for another time.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So you did the dance of your people and puked on her to show your love.
This is our greeting traditionally.
This is now we're recording.
I think we both puked on each other at various points in this friendship, but this was the time when we went out for a meal, a nice meal on the last day of a skiing holiday.
Yeah.
And for some reason, somebody, probably me, like a fucking idiot, ordered some seafood platter or whatever at this nice restaurant.
Yeah.
Of course, the nice restaurant was in the Alps.
Right.
And I think the last place you should order seafood is the Alps.
On a mountain. Yeah.
like, not a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, basically, if you're eating seafood, you want to be eating it on a pier out of a newspaper where you're sure the fish just came out of the water. And it was
you
like,
want the fisherman to serve it from a line. Yeah.
Yeah.
He literally serves it by moving the fishing rod over. You unhook the fish and that's the fish. Yeah, right there.
That's it.
Yeah, the morning after, we were obviously on this sort of taxi bus thing back down the mountain. And it's, you know, winding on these roads because the mountain roads, they just wind back and forth. And it's like super jolting anyway. And also, like, you've got this terrible vertigo from like looking over the edge because these roads down the mountains, just you could just see death. You know, if that bus goes over,
it's
just going to roll and roll and roll forever and you're going to die. It's terrifying. And so, you know, I was just getting more and more bad. And like, I was like, oh, I'm definitely going to be sick here. What are we going to do? And so.
And then she was sick
think,
as well.
I think.
And your barfs
I think
combined.
Her mum emptied out her handbag, which was the only thing she had with her.
Oh.
Whatever. And I was just fucking puking in this handbag.
Oh.
And it wasn't a handbag that. The problem was I was puking in this handbag and it was like, it was not watertight. And so the puke was just like running all down to my legs and the cold car just was like.
And this girl that you had a crush on, was she barfing as well? She had the same disposition as you, just like very barfy, and you were sharing the handbag, doing, you know, you did a barf, then she would do a barf and stuff like that.
That would be my dream, wouldn't
beautiful.
It?
Yeah.
That could be like the plot for Deuce Bigalow 4, right?
Yeah.
You end up with a really barfy girl that is undateable, but she becomes dateable for you because you're equally barfy and you guys can barf together. And stand each other barfing.
Yeah, that is a
in
Deuce Bigalow
in the Alps.
Movie.
Deuce Bigalow 4. barfing in the Alps.
Yeah, so
the producer comes in, pitching it to the studio. Okay, guys, here's the pitch.
All right,
Deuce Bigelow.
We got this guy. Okay, he's like a bubble boy, but he's out. Okay, he's out of the bubble and he's barfing everywhere. Non-stop, okay,
I like
he's
it.
Made
I like it,
it
so
the real
far.
World.
The bubble demographic has been untouched by Hollywood. Let's try and get that bubble demographic.
Oh my god. Maybe this could be like a plot line for Bodega as well. Maybe he could visit a barfy planet.
Bodega, you know? Part Dos has already been written, of course.
Oh really?
Yeah, yeah, of
are
course,
we are we going to be
the adventures of Bodega, it's up to you all.
It would grace
man,
my presence.
Honestly, if you turned up here every week with a new Bodega,
that's
I would die a happy man.
That's the intention.
Should we save it for later though?
It's up to you guys. I don't mind. Okay. We can talk for a bit.
Okay, we'll talk for a bit and then we'll do a Bodega.
Okay.
We'll have our weekly slot for Bodega.
Okay, Bodega.
Now, finally, this podcast is taking shape, guys. Look, actually have like a bit of a format. We got Bodega time. Sometimes
so, yeah,
we talk
we have
about 15 games.
15 to 20 minutes of either chat 15, about poop or sick at the start of the
podcast. I want to add.
Then we talk about the boring shit we've done in the week.
I want to add that I have nothing to add on the barfing front because I'm quite proud to say my whole family are not barfy at all. Like,
that's good.
Very isolated moments of barfing due to like a sickness or a virus or whatever. But even my kids, not pukey in the slightest.
That's very good.
They poop every day, but they're barely ever
glad
sick.
Glad to hear it.
I mean, I think the only time my son was sick, fully growing up, like from being a toddler and stuff to now, was right before he had chickenpox. Like he broke out with chickenpox. You get a bit sick before. And he like barfed on the kitchen floor. But even then, it wasn't like that bad. Like we just cleaned it up. And then next morning, he woke up and he had chickenpox all over him. And we were like,
oh God, it's the worst.
That explains it sort of thing. And that was that. So
chickenpox is one of those things that it just makes me feel so fucking bad for the kids. Like there's no, they always get it when they're really little.
Yeah.
Like my eldest had it twice because the first time she had it very mildly. And the second time she got it, it was kind of bad. But my youngest had it. It was awful. Like her, she was just, it was like a texture. Like it was like there had been an error in the graphical renderer for her body. Yeah. And instead of being skin colored, she was just bumps.
Yeah.
So it's like the texture was just bumps.
The really gross thing about chickenpox is that they're contagious when you scratch the sore.
Oh, really?
And it pops and the pus is like infected. And that's when it's contagious. And that to me just makes it even more gross than it already is.
Yeah, that's even grosser.
That's disgusting. Like, thinking about that. So that's why they say not to scratch, because, you know, you get it in under your fingers and stuff and whatever, your fingernails and shit, and it's all infected, and that's how it spreads around everywhere. So
it's
like,
really grim. I mean, kids have to have it, because you don't want to get it when you're older.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
No, it can be very serious when you're older. Like, it can kill you.
Really?
Do you want to get it when you're a kid? Yeah. It's like, some people...
I'm pretty sure the pus doesn't cause it to spread.
No, I'm pretty sure it is.
I think when you scratch it, it makes it worse, like the sores themselves.
Look it up for real.
Like
that's how it spreads.
No, it's like an airborne virus.
Chickenpox is an airborne disease which spreads easily through the coughs and sneezes of an infected person.
Yeah, once you've got it, you'll just get lesions depending on
shingles may spread chickenpox to those who are not immune through contact with blisters. There you go.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking then.
So if you have a kid, if you have shingles and you're around small kids and you've been scratching your face like an idiot, then you can get all the kids chickenpoxed up.
Small, itchy blisters. Symptoms usually last 5 to 10 days. Complications may occasionally include pneumonia and inflammation of the brain.
Oh, God.
Man, I mean, this is some serious shit.
Yeah.
You do not want to be getting this. Jeez.
Whew.
No, it's dangerous to get it as an adult. Very dangerous. This is why they have these chickenpox parties. I was taken to a chickenpox party when I was a kid.
Right.
With loads of kids who had chickenpox to get it. And I got it when I was young because I was like a bubble boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't very well.
No.
With various other things. And they were like, well, look, we'd rather he had it now when he's not got anything. They were like, he's looking great. Look at him. He's all happy and smiling. Do you know what it's a good time for?
Give him the pox.
Let's get him chicken pox right now.
Pardon me. Speaking of chicken pox. Oh, do you hear that? It's explosive.
Yeah, that was one of those.
It was a real dad sneeze, wasn't it? Sorry about that.
I think everyone now has chicken pox who was listening. Yeah.
Well, I'm missing a wall in my garage now as well. So.
Oh, Jesus. It's gonna let in that egg farm smell.
No, I got the windows open. The egg smell is dissipating now. It just smells nice and fresh.
It's probably something moldering under the garage somewhere or in a wall somewhere.
We have a condenser dryer in here.
Oh, yeah, they'll make a stink.
You know,
they'll make a stink.
It extracts the moisture from the clothes and
yep.
stores it in a little plastic thing, and that's probably where the egg smell comes from.
Nice.
Yep.
Could be my butt as well, though.
Right. The old egg butt.
Yeah, could be.
Man.
So, like, recently I've been playing a lot of WoW. I'm not going to talk too much about WoW, but I've been streaming a lot of WoW as well, and I've been sitting in here for a long time playing WoW, and maybe my sweaty butt is causing my chair to stink a little bit as well.
Right.
You know, when I started
for
playing
fuck's
WoW,
sake, guys. Yeah.
That was that thing about poop socking. That was the first time I'd ever heard of poop socking.
Right.
Did that come about from a specific anecdote that someone pooped in a sock, or was it just something that someone assumed?
It's one of those typical sort of goon stories that you can never tell if it's true or not, but it's the mentality of somebody who is so engrossed in a video game that they couldn't possibly leave their desk for 5 minutes to go take a poop. So, you know, they just shit in a sock instead. I mean, I don't think anybody realistically has ever done that, but possibly. I mean, I knew a guy who needed to go poo really bad one time. We were at a skate park downtown. There was no toilets around, so he pooped in a bush and then wiped his ass with his socks and threw his socks away. So,
Jesus.
It's another poop sock related story for you as well.
I think that's probably happened to a lot of people.
I would assume we've all
been there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We've all been
there. Maybe not all of us, but
there's lots of...
Some of us have probably been there.
It's just, you just have to deal with some of this stuff sometimes in your life, and you just can't get away from it, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, poop socking is definitely... That used to be the big joke in vanilla WoW when we used to play in raid and stuff.
But I'm just wondering if it's ever actually happened. Like, if it actually came around from a real thing.
Well... Yeah, maybe, you know, maybe it was just like maybe the story itself wasn't that interesting and then it just turned into like a legend, you know?
I'm trying to
think of an example of that happening.
There's an article here on Tech Radar that says Blizzard discourages WoW poop socking following the news of a Swedish gamer's collapse. This is not a new article. This
it would have to happen in Sweden or Korea, right?
Yeah, always Korea.
Like, so I remember there's stories about people in Korea playing too much Diablo in an internet cafe, not eating or sleeping, and then dying of like a heart attack.
Or then killing each other over some in-game item.
And one couple that used to play lots of WoW at an internet cafe, and they left their baby at home and the baby died. That was a sad one too. I know. I mean, like, you normally associate that with like, you know, heroin users or whatever, but I guess to have it associated with a video game is probably not the best. But it happens. People are crazy, I guess. So
you've moved on since then.
Yeah, we moved on. It took a little while to get over, but that night we had a legendary drop in the raid. So
once Legion came out, all forgotten.
That's terrible. People get really obsessed over really weird things, don't they? People like, have you guys ever, well, I'm sure you guys have been to casinos before. Like, we used to go to a casino nearby where, like, I grew up and stuff. It was, like, across the river in another province. So we could go there earlier than we'd be able to go in our own province.
Right.
Because, like, the age restrictions were different. And it always struck me, like, how it was fun. It was a fun outing. Because, like, the way that we'd go to a casino is we'd be like, okay, I'm going to take, like, $40 and I'm just going to go and we're going to have fun time and we're going to gamble it all away. And if we win, cool. And if we lose, you know, we draw a line under it and we'll just go get, like, you know, a milkshake and go home sort of thing. And it was really fun. And then we'd turn up to these places and there'd be people with like a necklace with a credit card attached to it. And they'd just be feeding their card into these slot machines and stuff. And they just look like zombies. Like, it was always these old women with a breathing apparatus. And they'd just be sitting there like totally in the zone, just like chugging these quarter machines and stuff. It's bad, isn't it? Like,
I mean, I feel like the lack of logic in going to a casino, which is in business, by the way, like, they're not going bust. These places make money because the games are designed so that they win. If you don't know that by now, after spending that much time, like, do they not look around, look at the other people at the casino and think, Jesus Christ, what a mess, what a garbage can group of people here in this building, and I'm just joining them. Well, we went to Nice, right?
Yeah.
And two things about Nice. First of all, we went to the casino because we thought we'd have a look at it. We didn't spend any money there, but they had all these fruit machines lined up there. The slots, you know?
Yeah.
So they had these guys, all these locals playing there. When they needed to take a pee or they needed to get a drink, they put their car keys in the coin slot to say, this is my machine. Now, that means that they are valuing their place on that machine more highly than access to their car. Like, their car It's just, fuck it. Well, it's just a car key.
Because they think it's going to pay out. They're going to just be able to buy a new one anyway. Because I guess the idea is that if you work the same machine long enough, the payout is going to be more than you've ever put in.
But
right?
It's still going to be 75% or whatever the legal requirement is. There's a sticker on the fucking machine that says this machine will pay out at a rate of 73% of whatever you put in it.
Yeah.
So why don't you just take £100, take 27 of those pounds, give them to charity and keep the 73. How about that?
But
if you want to
give
money away.
But I guess they do it because it's fun, you know, like gets them out of the house.
It doesn't look fun.
They get to like live on the edge as well by like risking
the
their car keys every time they have to go in the bathroom. Stuff. But like, I mean, we're going to Vegas like in 6 weeks' time, right, Lewis?
Do you do that? Yeah. Are you going to live there for 10 years?
No, I am not.
It's a holiday, right?
I'm gonna have a bit of spending money with me.
I don't know why we're going to Vegas. Okay, we're going to BlizzCon, right? And then afterwards, we're going to Vegas for like 2 days.
Awesome.
And I don't know why.
Because it'll be awesome. I'd fucking love to go to Vegas.
I mean, Vegas is great. I've been before. Have you never been, Sips?
No. We meant to go like a couple of years ago, and then we just like decided to go somewhere else instead. Like I've always wanted to sort of go, but like I'm not like.
Oh well, if you've never been, I thought you went last year.
No, I didn't.
Weirdly.
No, well, my daughter was like a week old last year, so I didn't go.
I didn't go either.
No.
But I think Terps and Duncan and Shin and Martin must have gone there.
They did,
but I don't know why they would want to, why they're planning to go back. Maybe they had such a good time there, but I don't think
they
were doing gambling.
Maybe they saw that movie, The Hangover, and they thought, I want to do that.
Yeah, that's how I want to live my life.
Me too.
Yeah.
They thought they'd meet Mike Tyson and stuff.
I don't know. Casinos, it's a weird thing, isn't it? I feel like the slot machines all come from an age before video games.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it feels like. They were like really the original slot machine where you pull the handle.
Yeah, but
it
surely they must appeal
wheels.
To people who go down to like the bookies and stuff as well. It's the actual thrill of gambling. You know, you might win something, but I guess it's different because with the bookies, it's like you're taking a chance on something happening. And I guess with the slot machine, it's the same, but the volume that you play a slot machine is much more, right?
I think they are predatory of the, and this is bad to say, I guess, the poorer members of society. They certainly prey on, like the church does, the lower sort of income families and lower classes, because these people aren't as educated necessarily and aware of this stuff. Like, you know, if you want to gamble, there's lots of ways to do it. And the National Lottery is no different. I think the National Lottery is a real terrible tax on the poor of a country. You know, there are much better systems. For example, premium bonds is a good system in a sense, because at least when you put your money into it, there's a chance you're going to win big, but you're going to have your money at the end in a savings account.
Yeah.
And, you know, that can then be put forward towards, you know, whatever you need it for.
I want to be a millionaire, Lewis.
I mean, I want to be that guy who never goes to a casino, walks in, and just through dumb fucking luck wins like a million. That's it. You know, the one time I decide to go in 10 years, I just luck out big time. Or not even a million. You know what? Like $3,000 or something. And I'd be like, you know what, guys? Fucking, I'm going to buy you all PlayStations and then draw a line under it. That'd be great. You know, that'd be a story, right? That'd be something fun to remember. Like, we went to Vegas, Sips won $3,000 and he bought us all Xboxes.
But I mean, what do you mean won $3,000? You have to put somebody down to do that. You know, if you're going to go to a casino every 6 months and you're going to put in 500.
If I put like a dollar into a dollar slot and it was, you know, we were just passing by, I put a dollar in and I won like $3,000. That'd be hilarious. I love that. That would be such a cool memory.
But I think the way it works, though, if you put in a dollar, that would be a 1 in 5,000 chance. If you put in $5, it would be in a 1 in 1,000 chance.
Yeah,
so,
but chances and everything, okay? Like, aside, the stars and the moons align, and I'm just lucky as hell, and I put some money into a slot machine, and I win money. That'd be great. I'd be, like, really happy. I'd be like, holy shit, this is amazing. And I wouldn't even do anything sensible with that money. Like, I'd just be like, let's just go to a strip club and spend $3,000.
I don't know.
No, you wouldn't be comfortable with that?
No, what if...
Because it might happen. I mean, we're going like 6 weeks' time and like, you know, I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking, I fancy my chances.
How about you instead, like, you say, okay, I've won £1 million on the slots. Let's commission.
Oh, if I won £1 million, that'd be different.
A series of Bodega, live action.
Oh, I wouldn't even. You know what I'd do? I'd buy a house in a neighborhood that I did not belong in, and I'd be really loud and obnoxious, and I'd buy a bunch of cars that I had no business driving, and I would rev them up in the driveway like all night and get kicked out of there. And that's, I would just troll my way through £1 million easy.
How would you get kicked out?
Well, noise complaints and stuff, you know.
This is like that guy that was called the King of Chavs.
Yeah, yeah, I would. That's me. I would want to be that. I just think that would be such a funny thing to do with money.
That's your ambition.
Yeah. He won £9 million. He's lost it all, by the way. He's working. I think he works in a biscuit factory now, which is a really.
It's a bit of a come down.
That is. So he had £9 million. I think his name was Michael something. He basically bought a country manor. And just bought a load of old bangers and would fuck up the land around the house having banger races and driving around crashing cars and demolition derbies and stuff.
Yeah.
And just spunked the money. Just literally spunked it all. And he was like, I got no regrets.
The noise complaints and everything. He was in the paper. You know, he's on the front of the Sun and stuff. You know,
they hated him. They fucking hated him. Poor guy gets money. This is wrong.
Yeah.
He's not investing it wisely in a portfolio. He's like, fuck you guys. I'm going to buy stupid shit. I'm going to blow this money and I'm going to piss you all off.
Yeah. And now he's back at the cookie factory.
Back at the biscuit factory.
That's totally the American sort of Vegas dream though, isn't it? That's what Vegas seems to be catered
for. Well, I think in Vegas, it's a bit different. I think what you do is if you're not lucky in the slot machines or at the blackjack table or whatever, you hope that Robert Redford turns up with just a bed covered in money and fancies your wife. And then you're like, okay, cool. Yeah, you can have like a one night with my wife for $1 million or whatever.
I would take that in a heartbeat.
An indecent proposal IRL.
If Robert Redford, I think, he's still alive, right?
Definitely, yeah.
I don't think it's entirely your choice. Isn't it up to your wife?
Here's the thing. We're married. If she said to me, I'm going to fuck Robert Redford for £1 million and you don't have any say in it, I'd feel like that was a bit more insulting. Whereas if she said to me, what do you think? I'd at least have the option of saying, I'm very uncomfortable with this.
Yeah.
But, it's nice to ask. That's a marriage, isn't it? Otherwise, what you're saying
what if he wanted to do something much sicker, though? Like what if he wanted her to puke on
well,
him?
Well, he wants her to be sick on Robert Redford.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a problem with that. I'd be like, just give her some champers, Robert. It'll happen.
Not in my Robert Redford fantasies. No way.
In yours, he wants
he
to...
does not
if
like
he, what if Robert Redford wanted to shit in your wife's mouth?
He's an old school romantic. He's an old school romantic, okay?
He sidles up to you at the bar. Hey, your wife's got a real pretty mouth.
He wouldn't do it in the mouth. He would just do it on her chest.
I love you, Robert. You're a great actor. Big fan of your movies.
Big fan. Yeah. Really love Drugstore Cowboy.
It's too sinister. I don't know. Are you happy being a pimp?
It's not. I'm not a pimp. He offered.
It's not a pimp. Are you saying that Woody Harrelson was a pimp in Indecent Proposal? Like, the guy lost a lot of money in Vegas, didn't really have many prospects except for being married to Demi Moore. So,
which is kind of a prospect, I guess.
Kind of, but
it's
she,
like having a geology
in
degree.
That world, she wasn't Demi Moore. She was just like Sandy Smith or whatever her name was in Indecent Proposal. So.
Sandy.
So she didn't even have like the street cred or anything, you know? So like,
I'm not saying Mrs. F would have to ask me for permission, but it would be clear grounds for divorce if she just went behind my back and fucked Robert Redford, £1 million or no. But if she did it and then said to me, I had sex with Robert Redford last night, I'd be like, what? And then she'd say, but he gave me £1 million. I'd be like, what are we going to spend this on? Because let's hit Vegas, baby.
I don't know, though. Like, I think Robert Redford would go down in my estimation if that happened. Don't get me wrong. I'd be happy with $1 million or whatever. But I would think, you know, Robert Redford, you fucking asshole. How could you? How could you do me like this,
Rob? I'd be disappointed
Rob?
He has to pay for it, would be what I'd be disappointed at. I'd be like, wow.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. It'd be like, Rob, you got to pay women to have sex with them? Like, what happened to you, man? Like, you used to be...
used to be a big guy.
You used to be the big guy, and now, look. What's
Paul Newman and Steve McQueen and... Steve McQueen ain't paying no woman for sex. He just pulls up in a sports car.
Hell yeah. Paul Newman maybe would have to pay now. He's pretty old.
He's dead.
How do you... First thing, right? Imagine you went to Vegas with your newfound $1 million, and there was a guy in a bar who was out down his luck with a really hot wife.
Yeah. Oh, would I pay for it?
Well, I think you got to be careful too, because I think I'm sure the mafia still operate heavily in Vegas. Maybe not as sort of apparent as they used to, but I'm sure they still have a hand. And I would be shit scared to win a lot of money in Vegas because I would worry about getting killed in the desert.
Do you know what I here's my thoughts about the mafia. Don't worry about that, Sips. I think, if you think about it, they must have had a shitload of money over the years, right? The mafia, they made a shitload of money.
A little, yeah.
They must have realized that actually running a little book on the side and maybe some girls down at Louis Bar, that's not making the big bucks.
Come in the two times.
They always come in two times. Forget about it. What they do is actually they go, you know what? We got to invest our portfolio, Don, and we got to get some legitimate businesses.
Don, I'm thinking premium bonds. You know what those are? You know, they're like a gamble. They can pay out big sometimes, but you know, if they don't pay out big, you get your money back.
It's a real steady income, boss. I think it's a good idea. Is it against the law? Nah, it's all above board. You'd love it.
All right, this is a new direction for us, but let's give it a go. I've been meaning to divest my portfolio for some time now.
Diversify,
boss. You gotta diversify.
Oh, fuck me. Man, how did the mafia become so funny? Like, they were brutal in the 70s. I mean, really, like, they had the Iceman, they had, like, Murder, Inc. and stuff. Like, when did they become such a joke? Like, holy shit. It's, I guess, Goodfellas and stuff, sort of.
I think they became, like, we don't hear about the mafia as being a problem now.
No.
So they're almost seen as, like, a part of the past, even though there's still a massive problem in Italy.
They're still huge in America. They're just, the problem with the mafia is that the mafia that we know that has been sort of glamorized, if you like, from, like, the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
They used to have free reign because law enforcement technology was not up to scratch. And it's the same with when cocaine started pouring into Miami in the 80s as well.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't have the means to control it. The government was so behind in controlling it, knowing what it was, knowing the impact and everything. And it was the same with the mafia operating. You know, they could get away with all this shit, extortion, you know, drug smuggling, weapon smuggling. I mean, they were even like, you know, some of the big scores that they had off like international flights with gold on them and stuff. Like,
yeah, yeah.
That shit would never happen nowadays. It's impossible, you know, with like, you've got like the CIA and the FBI and advanced like monitoring and everything, you know, they can't get away with it, but they still operate like, and they still make a lot of money. And they're still, like, really big, but it's just super-duper under the radar now.
Do you know the other thing I think it is a lot of the reason the mafia did so well in America was because after that wave of Italian immigrants in the 19th century, they brought a lot of that with them, that sort of omerta, and you don't talk to the police, and the mafia is like
a code, yeah.
Yeah, it's a part of our thing, whereas nowadays neighborhoods are a lot more diverse.
I mean, that's
it's
the
not
thing,
like you have 10 blocks that are all just Italian immigrants as much anymore around New York. So I think a lot of the areas and the people, the older people who would have kept that shit secret and sort of, you know, if they had a problem, they'd go to the local Don or whatever. That's gone now. That doesn't happen
That doesn't happen so much now. Like, I guess The Sopranos was sort of like, watch that series, it's a fictional series, but it probably does highlight the fact that, you know, the way that they operated changed a lot as law enforcement started to really catch up with them.
Right.
And the old ways and the old codes started dying out and stuff as well, you know. Like, and I think like a lot of people that have flipped in the mafia and become witnesses and informants and stuff like that and wanting to leave the life sort of said that really drugs ended it all for them. Like when drugs started to become really big, you know, like Nixon and Reagan and stuff started like the war on drugs and all this stuff. It got out of control. The code, they couldn't follow the code anymore. Half the guys were just like doing drugs and they didn't give shit anymore and stuff. And it sort of wrecked it for them for a time. But I think they still do pretty well.
Also, I mean, the whole tax thing, that was pretty much the way they get busted. Like, they found a way to bust them.
Yeah.
Like, you just prove income, and then you've got them on tax evasion, and then the whole thing opens up. And was it the RICO?
RICO, yeah. The RICO Act, I think, started, like, all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, they caught a lot of, like, really big guys off of that, didn't they? Like,
yeah.
What's his face went down? Was it John Gotti? They got him on that, or was it a bunch of other stuff? They probably started there, and then they probably opened up a lot of stuff because what's his face flipped and then testified against him too. Sammy Gravano, remember that guy?
No.
The Bull. Sammy the Bull.
Sammy the Bull.
Yeah, he was like the famous sort of like mafia informer witness flipper guy that brought down the whole thing.
He flipped.
Man, I love all of that so much.
Me too.
Like the nicknames and like,
yeah,
it's just the attitude.
Like, the older stuff is very interesting to read because there's just so much information about it, you know, like, and there's been so many movies made about it and books and everything, but I read a book, I can't remember the name of it now, but it was about, I think he was part of the Gambino family, and he was like, it was kind of like Iceman. Do you guys ever see the movie Iceman?
No.
It was about that guy. He was like, he started working for the mafia as a hitman, and he was like, but he was still trying to like hold down this family life. He had two kids, a wife, lived in the suburbs and stuff, and every day he'd just go out. And, you know, he'd fucking kill people, whoever. He chummed up with this guy who was in, like, refrigeration. And,
oh, Jesus.
And then this guy would help, you know, sort of, like, keep the bodies and hold them. But in the end, they caught him. They caught up with him and arrested him. And he testified to something crazy, like 300 murders or something. Like, he's killed Whoa. So many people. It's insane. But there was this other guy. And so the book was written by his son, who was growing up and not realizing that what his dad did. And he just had like all these sort of like memories of things that his dad would do, but he never really linked them to anything at the time because he was a kid. But it was really interesting as he got older, he started to sort of realize what was going on. And then of course, when he was much older, he almost started like becoming a little bit involved. But by then his dad had been arrested and, you know, a lot of things had changed or whatever. And he sort of went off on a bender, you know, like he lived his life through his dad's name and did all this shitty stuff and then realized that like it wasn't the life for him. And then he turned it all around and stuff.
Wow.
It's really interesting, actually. Really good book. I wish I remember the name of it. I cannot for the life of me remember the name of it. It's really good.
When you're a dad, you end up having to pick your kid up all the time, bring him around. He's in the back seat.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, you're on a hit with like, you know, refrigeration Charlie or whatever.
Yeah, no,
Charlie
but, the like,
fridge.
But like one of his memories was that his dad went through shoes. Like he needed a new pair of shoes every week. And the reason was because he was responsible for going around and collecting like the extortion rackets. And he would literally pace up and down blocks and blocks and blocks of New York City every single day collecting. And he would just wear out his shoes.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, and his kid was like, fuck, Dad, how do you go through shoes like so quickly? Like they would just be completely worn out like
Don't
after
ask
a week
too
or whatever.
Many questions, Junior.
Yeah, it's crazy,
Is that because he was wearing like smart shoes, dress shoes?
And he would just
rather
be
than
yeah.
practical shoes.
Yeah.
Right, I see.
And they would just completely wear down just from walking up and doing collections and stuff. I just thought that was such a weird thing to remember.
I thought it would be like kicking in doors or
I thought there'd be blood on them or some shit. Like,
yeah.
Possibly some of that as well, yeah. But they lived at, like, I think they just lived this like typical suburban life out in New Jersey or whatever. And his dad would go off to work and just thought he was like in some sort of businessman or whatever. And he had all these uncles that weren't really uncles that would come over from time to time. And, you know, a lot of hush-hush conversations in the basement and the garage, but like never thought anything of it. And then, you know, just as he was older, he started piecing it together. And he's like, fuck, my dad was just like this massive hitman for the mafia. And
man,
so when my kids are older and they realize that I've also been doing that stuff as well, it's going to be weird. I hope they write a book and make some money off me as well.
They're like, Dad had to keep going out to the garage. It always like smelled really strongly of eggs in there.
It was always smelled like eggs, but now come to think of it, maybe the smell was dead bodies.
Maybe he was running a secret chicken factory.
Sometimes I would walk out there and he would look like he hadn't showered in days and he'd be sweating and he'd always be on his computer. And I can't remember what he was doing on there, but I seem to remember a man with green eyes and horns.
There was this big pile of socks by the computer.
I just remember a mountain of empty pizza boxes too. And it's not as glamorous as being a mafia hitman, is it? Like,
not quite.
No.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I love all that, like the history of the mafia and stuff. I went through like a, not like a phase, but I just became very interested in it after watching a couple of movies and stuff. And I did a lot of reading. I got a whole bunch of books like about, you know, some like the older families and stuff like that. It's good reading, actually. It's very interesting. But I mean, again, it was a totally different time. They got away with a lot of the stuff they got away with because, basically law enforcement was just not ready for it. You know, organized crime, they had no
it's
way
like
of...
It's like today with Wall Street, you know, we just can't police that. All the fraud that's going on.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. Thanks.
So I was thinking earlier, you know, that indecent proposal chain. I was thinking like, imagine you like SIPs or PFLAX, like you do the indecent proposal, then you get like a token for an indecent proposal with someone else, and then they can use that token for another indecent proposal. So rather than getting paid $1 million for it, you instead get okay, basically I'm now thinking of like, okay, this isn't it. I'm thinking of swinging.
Right. Yeah, you are.
Right, okay, yeah. Flax, let me put this to you. Robert Redford is one thing, right? What if the indecent proposal came from none other than Lewis Brindley? What would you say?
No. I know it.
Slightly worse.
It's
the
him.
Same amount of money, though.
No, no.
It's the Robert same
Redford
amount of money.
Is just a, like, he could just be an imaginary character for all I know. I'm not going to bump into Robert Redford all the time. I have to work with Lewis.
But what if you meet him and he's really weird and slimy and horrible?
I don't have to sleep with him.
What if you met up with Robert Redford and he just ran a YouTube channel as well? Like, one thing led to another. He's like, yeah, I just do YouTube.
But do you have like this list of whatever it is? Like, a lot of people have like a... Well, this classic like idea of a freebie list or whatever it's called, or what's it called, where you can have an affair with like certain people if they're on this list.
Well,
you've agreed.
I mean, no, but I mean, it would have to be on a case by case basis. I think would be the safest way to do it, because otherwise you're going to be constantly amending the list, posting the amendments to the
fridge.
The fridge.
Yeah, you might be change your mind a couple of times as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So you come in one morning, someone scratched off. What happened? Oh, I hated their last movie, so they're off the list.
Yeah,
they're off.
But
the
I've
list.
I've added Carrot Top to it now. It's like, whoa,
what? You know what? Yesterday, Carrot Top was okay, but we just went to see a movie with Carrot Top in it and remind me of how obnoxious and annoying Carrot Top actually is.
What?
And I want him off the list.
You cut
like
you
what
cut
happens
out
in that case?
Badly.
We didn't hear a word of that. I'm sorry, Sip.
Did I cut out? Sorry.
Completely cut out, okay.
We'll just listen to it back in the editing and then...
Yeah, we'll listen
We'll just
back.
Agree and nod. Like, yeah,
just put in some genuine laughter instead of like the awkward, we didn't hear you laughter. Just like cut it in and it'll be fine. You know,
gentlemen?
Yeah?
It's time.
It is.
Bodega.
All right. Okay. Let me get comfortable. Hang on a second.
We've exhausted all other...
Okay. I got to put my feet up and I have to recline a bit on my chair and close my eyes as well.
Bodega. Part dos. A grey canopy of fog gave way to the brilliant Skirlian dawn. Four suns rising as one, reminding Bodega of the time he almost got run over by a recreational hover vehicle on Platos 4. He slipped his sunglasses into position over his
eyes. You're like Metzen 2.0, I'm serious. It's crazy.
And squinted down the sights of his lasgun back towards his Gretham stealth insertion shuttle. Nobody mooching about nearby, so he felt secure enough in his position. With the sun at his back, he'd learnt this trick in sniper school, where he'd finished top of his class and all the other classes in the history of that sniper school and all other sniper schools. He settled into the loose soil of his hilltop vantage point and checked the lasgun pivot bipod once more. The action was as smooth as a slim hound's udder. With the pivot bipod deployed, he'd be able to wreak a terrible revenge on the bastard smugglers down in the valley. There they were now, drinking cups of synth tea and smoking their star vapes. Vaping had been outlawed by the evil Federation director, Krem Slumdump. But those cabrones...
Slumdump!
But those cabrones obviously felt the law didn't extend to them. Bodega laughed to himself. Hell, he loved a good vape too. Bodega wanted to vape really, really badly, but it might give away his position, since he was using an advanced mega vape capable of blanketing a small moon in delicious vape smoke. Enough about vaping, thought Bodega.
Hang on a second.
I love the vaping tangent. Oh,
is this,
Bodega.
It's got a little bit of sort of Mary Sue character
going on Bodega.
Here.
No, Mary Sue character is a character who... inexplicably enters an established set of characters, and the established characters love that character, and that character is insanely competent and beloved by all. That would be Wesley Crusher in Star Trek would be a prime example.
Mary Sue is the character who's inserted by the author as a wish fulfillment. So it's like Hermione is J.K. Rowling and Bella Swan in Twilight, and the people who... the author puts them in and
I'm not so sure.
Loves them. They're perfect. No, they're
I'm
seemingly
not so,
like...
There's a lot more to it than that. This is more right. like...
Wesley Crusher. Explain Wesley Crusher.
Yeah.
I guess just when I see a mirror of Period Flax in the story. That's what I think of as a very soon.
Lots of people vape, Lewis, and as it happens, Bodega happens to use a mega vape capable of blanketing a small, moon delicious vape smoke.
I'm delighted to hear
that. That sounds very antisocial, though. I mean, what if the whole moon doesn't want to vape? You know,
enough about vaping,
will.
Thought Bodega. The smugglers were gathered around a collection of small remote-controlled vehicles. Through the vision scope attachment of his las gun, Bodega could practically smell the scum from here. Whatever they planned to do with those RC vehicles, it was going to be related somehow to their smuggling activities, and it was surely going to be a thing a bastard would do. He'd done research on these bastards before he'd taken the mission. Their list of crimes was so long he'd had to take a couple of extra days off just to read through it and get really, really angry. Bodega liked getting really, really angry. It focused his mind, made him sharp. So sharp he'd come up with the idea for the pivot bipod while he was taking a crap. Bodega's famous las gun, known throughout the galaxy as the best of the best of the best in terms of las guns and one of a kind, was capable of a sustained beam which in turn was capable of penetrating the hull of any ship he'd ever shot it at, which was a lot of ships. By definition, a human being in their stupid remote control vehicles was going to be no match. No match at all. He grinned, he being Bodega, and checked the pivot bipod action once more, smoother than a hit from his mega vape. No! No vaping, thought Bodega firmly.
Man.
Down in the valley, the bastard scum smugglers were laughing and joking and starting to fart around with their RC vehicles. There were 10 of them, their hover vehicles parked up in a semicircle. They sure didn't dress like smugglers, the clever bastards. Most of them had glasses on, which was weird, because anybody with 100 skrells could get eye surgery or an implant or something. Maybe it was part of their disguise. Maybe they weren't very good at smuggling and were a bit hard up when it came to cash? Bodega gave it some thought. He couldn't come up with anything. Ah well, 5 minutes till their personal doomsday anyway. What was he, an optician? Bodega checked the action once more on the pivot bipod and instantly thought about vaping. Flav it, he thought, and pulled out his mega vape. He took one huge tug and exhaled, regretting it instantly. The smugglers all looked up towards the 50-meter cubed cloud of vape billowing off the hilltop. One of them fired up an RC drone and buzzed it straight at Bodega. As it neared him, he tensed every muscle in his body, letting out a small fart as he did so. Not out of fear, but as a precaution. A fart in combat is no joke. It can really put you off. But the drone didn't open fire. It hovered nearby, and a small, reedy voice emitted from a speaker on the front. Hello, are you the park ranger? We have a permit to fly our drones as long as it's not a Sunday. Furthermore, flav this! His position revealed in his cover blown, Bodega started putting some serious heat downrange. Target one was the Pendejo controlling this thing. The famous las gun of Bodega did its dreadful business and superheated every molecule of water in that dude's body as he exploded into a trillion fiery fragments. Now it was time for the pivot bipod to do its work. No need to take his finger off the trigger. Bodega simply played the las gun around the smuggler's meeting point like an old man watering some plants. A drop of water for the Grubles, a dash for the Clearforths, a good soaking for the needy Jup-Jup tree. Although in Bodega's case, this translated into three more smugglers shrieking in agony as they were sliced into bits by the las gun.
Oh man.
Holy shit.
He took a quick squiz down the sights and noticed that many of the smugglers were crawling around and shrieking. Some had curled up into balls and were crying, and some were more desperately trying to run for cover. Zap! All of them paid the ultimate price for smuggling, which was death by Bodega. Job done. He packed up and headed back towards the Gretham. As he got closer, he noticed a group of men off to the south, close enough to hear their conversation. They wore black stealth suits and each carried a large bore Omni rifle. Hunting season started earlier this year. Bodega gave a cheery wave and a thumbs up. The men looked bemused for a moment before waving back. Bodega climbed into the Gretham and blammed into orbit. Onto his next mission. The end.
Wait, what were they smuggling, though?
Oh, Tips, you didn't get it. They were just flying their drones in the forest.
That was it?
Yes, he killed the wrong people, and then he bumped into the smugglers on the way home.
Oh,
I
shit.
I thought it was obvious. Should I make it more obvious?
It was very obvious.
No, you know
P-flex.
What? It was pretty obvious, but I stopped paying attention because I was thinking really hard about what they were smuggling. Sorry.
You were trying to decipher.
I was
the
like
puzzle.
Thinking it because I was like, so the whole time I'm visualizing, right? I'm trying to think about what these guys are smuggling. I realize now that they weren't smuggling, and then, you know, he passed them. But the whole time, I can't get out of my mind how much this reminds me of Gentleman Broncos, you know, like the sci-fi part of Gentleman Broncos.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
It reminds
farms.
Me a lot of Better Call Saul, you know, when Mike is out in the desert and
I
he's
haven't
like,
watched it.
Oh, sorry. That's not
Sorry?
A spoiler anyway.
No,
Mike
no.
goes
it's
into
not a
the
spoiler,
desert.
No.
Mike is in a desert.
Point.
That's not a surprise.
And he's got a sniper rifle and stuff as well. And it really reminded me of that part of Better Call Saul too. Man, Bodega's really good.
Honestly, P-Flex, that was magnificent. I was totally I was on the edge of my seat.
Oh, awesome.
I feel like if they made a movie of Bodega, they have to use, it has to be like a B movie with
absolutely
those like costumes and effects and like the really janky dialogue and stuff like that. Like it would be perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
Shit, that would be so good. I love that we have a segment for homebrew sci-fi on this podcast.
Oh, I love a bit of sci-fi.
It's just so good. Like, it's what a masterstroke. Holy shit, that was really good.
Man, I'm gonna see if I could take some time to write a bodega.
Okay, but you can't be bodega though. Okay, if you're gonna write a homebrew, it has to be a different setting.
No,
okay?
No, I am happy. I am happy for bodega stuff to be. I want people to add to the canon. Of bodega.
Like bodega in time sort of thing.
Yeah. Some homebrew.
My only concern
bodega
is
in a Wild West setting would be
perhaps
cool.
People aren't aware of bodega's full character yet. I don't know if I've written enough for the true bodega. Like, I think I'm getting an idea of what he's like. Add to it, people. Write your own stuff.
You could do like the bodega prequels, Lewis. You know, like his time spent on like
young bodega.
Calamar 5 during like the Clone Wars or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And the strife, you know, maybe he was married at the time, you know, and he lost his wife.
The great
and that's what
vaping.
Set him up to become like
the Zizian Revolution, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Where do you get these names from?
Yeah.
The Jub Jub tree.
those are the most impressive.
Imagery. Watering. Yeah.
The needy Jub Jub tree.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wrote that this morning.
That was magnificent.
I like the Laz beam too. I like how it sort of microwaves the body.
I just like the idea that he just holds down the trigger and it's just this continuous, like, I don't know why. I find it funny, the idea of someone just blasting
a laser.
It's
going to make the sound of like those old guns you used when you were a kid.
Just like zapping. Yeah, really stupid noise. Yeah. His gun makes a really stupid high-pitched wee 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 wee. Yeah, I like that.
Oh my God. So anyway, there we go. Bodega Part 2. Does that mean that next week we can look forward to Bodega Part 3?
Part 3. See.
Part. Oh, it's fantastic. Okay, great. And then, Lewis, in the meantime, you're going to start.
There's no promises.
The Chronicles of Bodega, the prequel. And then eventually, I guess I'm going to have to do something as well.
I mean, I'd like to know more about Bodega. Like, the universe, go
Young
nuts.
Bodega.
As long as it's got a stupid name, it's in. But I want to know about who gives Bodega his mission. Who told him to go and get those smugglers?
Bodega Origins.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Yeah, you know, Bodega.
I mean, we know he went
child.
To sniper school and finished top of that class.
Yeah, or maybe he's just self-taught. You know, maybe he hooked up with like an old space ranger who was just really good.
Maybe.
Like, taught him all the
who
tricks.
Knows?
He only attended sniper school for like a week though, because he already was like super
busted
badass.
It wide
he went, he, yeah, he went to sniper school after the space ranger taught him all the tricks of the trade. His teacher was so jealous that he kicked him out of sniper
school.
He just
wanted the official qualification because it's hard to get work otherwise. Just paperwork.
That's right.
Just,
yeah, yeah, that's
I mean,
right.
Think
it's
how
just
much
the
bureaucracy is going to be in the galaxy. Like, it's a huge amount of bureaucracy.
Yeah, that's it. Well, yeah, because that's the thing. Bureaucracy just like becomes like 10 times worse in the future, right? Like,
oh,
when you start
awful.
Adding space stations into the mix
and
other
people
planets
need to justify their existence. If everything was done by computer, what do you do all day? You need bureaucrats.
That's it.
That's how people, you know, pay their space bills.
That's
where
right.
Does Bodega live? Does he live in a kind of grimy Minority Report style apartment, or does
no,
he live in
like it's like
a...
the Millennium Falcon, but
yeah,
it's like
he's mobile.
Yeah, he's got like a like a Han Solo kind of, isn't he?
He's got a couple of apartments on a couple of planets, I'm sure.
It's like a space Winnebago.
He's more of a safe house having kind of guy, not a regular. Right. A bodega can't afford to have a house.
It's like a Blade Runner.
I see
type.
He drifts.
Yeah, he has safe houses littered all over the place. You know he's going to have
seedy motel rooms.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's going to know people all over the sector
with guns hidden in the toilet.
Like the
bowl.
Punisher.
That's right.
Just bowl. Like the Punisher. Yeah.
You open the fridge and there's just like nothing in there except for like one pint of moldy old milk.
Yeah.
And then, but you can actually like open the fridge again. And there's a big store of guns back there.
Yeah.
You know, like you open the inside of the fridge and that's where he hides the guns.
And behind the guns, actual fresh milk, just in case.
Just in case. Oh. Yeah. No, it's UHT. It's
just
UHT
in case
milk.
Someone next door needs some milk or something. Yeah. That keeps his cover.
You know, you know what? One of the common tropes you see in action movies is that the hero, they'll be somewhere like ridiculously hot. And everyone will be like drinking water, and someone will say, "Do you want something?" He'll be like, "No, I'm okay." You know, you're hungry? No, I'm thinking, keep your fucking energy levels up. Stay hydrated, you idiot. Like, what hero doesn't drink and eat?
It's really important.
How are you going to fight without drinking and eat? It's not about being tough. Tough people eat. Look at fucking Michael Phelps. He eats a billion pizzas a day. He doesn't go,
oh my God, no God, the stuff that guy eats is crazy.
Right.
I was watching this like documentary on him, and he eats like 5 plates of pasta for lunch. It's insane. Like mountains as well. Like he just eats so much, but I guess he burns it all off, like winning medals left, right, and center and stuff. So it's insane.
It's crazy.
Like I couldn't believe it.
Oh. So sorry if I'm a bit slow this week. So I feel like I've had all of my energy sucked out by the Civilization 5 game we had.
Yeah.
So Civ 6, I have actually got, we're actually getting preview copies sent to us.
Hey, can you get me one? I'll join in for a game of that. I want to try Civ 6.
Well, we don't know whether the build that we're going to get is multiplayer, and I very much doubt it. In fact, build we're going to, we'll find it next week, but I think the early release build we're going to get is single player, likely single player, because that's the build that I've already played.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what? They're at a point where they want to just show it off in the maximum possible positive light. And obviously the multiplayer is going to be a mess at release, as it always is, because it's such an afterthought.
Yeah.
And so we played this Civ 5 game as our sort of, I think we're thinking of it as our final Civ 5 game, but I don't know whether Civ 6 will be playable.
Does it look like it's going to be good though?
It does. It does look very, very good. Yeah. Good. So I'm pretty stoked for it. And then I'm off to EGX tomorrow, which will be good. I do enjoy going to these events, but man, we've done a lot of them.
Yeah, gosh, you guys have done tons. I haven't done a single one this year.
I did Comic Con, but I mean, I just helped out on the merch stall.
You just popped along, didn't
you? Yeah.
Was it fun?
Yeah, my daughter loved it. It was the best day out she's ever had. I'm not even kidding. She talks about it all the time.
Wow.
She loved going to Comic Con. She fucking loved it.
Man, I'm going to take my son to one like when he's a little bit older. I don't think he'd appreciate it now, but like in a couple of years, I'll take him to one.
Yeah. I mean, she didn't give a shit about the cosplay. She didn't give a shit about all the people or anything.
No, it's all the little stands in the stores and stuff.
No, she didn't give a shit about those. What she liked was we hung out with the Yogscast guys. They were all very nice, obviously. And Harry was like, do you want to help sell some t-shirts? And she was like, God, yes. So she just, like, someone would come up and say, I'd like a Diggy Diggy Hole in Medium, and she'd run off and get it. And she that was, like, the best thing she's ever done. I'm not even kidding.
Wow. She just wanted the job.
Yeah,
man,
she
now, you know what? You're setting her up. Maybe she'll be, like, an entrepreneur. She might open up, like, an e-store or something.
Yeah, yeah maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Geez. Yeah.
She just
get
loved
get her
it.
A job, P-Flex. Yeah, get to work. Put to work.
Get her to design some shirts in an e-store for you.
You're ready, my dear. Here, work at Tesco's. I'll see you in 7 hours. Her current thing is Pokemon cards. So I have to figure out where to acquire Pokemon trading cards.
Wait, they don't just sell them like normally anymore?
Well, everyone
is it long past?
Well, everyone in school is saying they, quote, stopped making them, but I can't imagine that's true. When I look online,
they still get them. Huge amounts. Duncan and Kim buy tons. They've got about 1 million spare cards if you want any.
Oh, send them. Ship
come
them.
By when you've got the office. Ship yeah. Send an email to Duncan. He'll send you like a stack.
How do you store cards nowadays? Do you still get a binder with like those plastic things that slot the cards
exactly
in?
The same.
Yeah.
It's unchanged.
I used to have a whole bunch of Marvel superhero cards.
Oh, yeah.
Holograms and everything. I used to store them in a binder like that as well.
You still do, Sips. I saw it. You showed me it very proudly when I came around.
No, yeah. I don't do that at all. I mean, I don't have time or the energy or the inclination.
Iron Man.
Hey, I got this is series 1 Iceman.
This is John Gambino.
If I had that stuff, it would just be in a box somewhere gathering dust.
Oh my goodness. This should totally be like a mafia hitman collectible card set.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
You'd love that. Holy crap, right. That is all we got time for today. Thank you for listening to this podcast. It's a bit of a weird one.
Yeah, this was an odd one. Had a weird flavor to it. A kind of an eggy smell to it. But
yeah.
I miss the days when you'd come up with something like the Zen stuff and tell us Zen stories.
Oh, yeah, Lewis.
I'd like you to bring back something.
You've been dropping the ball recently.
Yeah, like, I blame
Lewis. On lately.
I want you know what, Lewis? I want you to think of this as a relaxing thing for you to do. So don't you worry about it. Me and Sips have got it covered. We'll come with interesting shit to talk about next week.
Literally, it'll be shit related as well.
And puke.
And puke. Yeah. No, Lewis, this is a challenge for you for next week, okay? Do something that isn't work related that is kind of like food for your soul, okay? And then tell us about next week.
That's
okay,
good.
Like the Zen thing. Like go skip rocks on the beach at sunset or something and think about stuff or do something like that, you know, something that really just pumps you up.
Yeah.
You know, like,
no, that's good.
So you feel like you're raising up into the sky with your wings out. And
okay, I'll do that.
Bette Midler's blaring away in the background and, you know, and then you can tell us about it. You know, tell us, because you have time to do that stuff. Me and Flax, we don't, you know, we're busy.
We're busy people.
We're busy
unlike
with
you.
Like kids and our wife and like, you know, car that constantly breaks down and stuff.
Mm.
But like, yeah, I think you have more time to do that sort of like reflective stuff. You know, you could really bring like a new dynamic.
Yeah. I could share with you my moments, like, you know, walking along the front and just avoiding the big pile of sick and, you know.
Yeah. And like, you know,
stuff like that.
What happened to the days when you found a cockroach in your Tesco microwave meal? You know,
when can that happen again?
Those days.
When can that happen again?
Those sweet moments. Yeah.
We can all sort of have a chuckle of a cockroach escaping from that meal and infesting
yeah,
your apartment.
That was a hell of a time. But I have to go. So we're going to have to end it here. Thank you for listening,
everyone.
Bye. We're going.
Peace.
Bye.